Hello, welcome back to Even More News, the first and only news podcast. My name is Katie Stoll.
Hi.
Hi.
What are your names?
Cody Johnston.
You said that so low.
Cody Johnston.
Hi, I'm David Bell.
David Bell is back.
Thanks for having me on.
Ugh, thanks for being here.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
He loves it. Guys, guess what?
What?
It's National Love Your Pet Day.
Oh, that's every day.
Yeah, it is every day. Yeah. And I've noticed something since we've been recording this podcast. A lot of pet-oriented holidays out there.
Yeah.
You know, puppy day, dog day, kitten day, cat day, walk your dog day, sure. Walk your cat day, all of it. I would offer, as much as we love our pets, which is, yes, every day, they don't deserve their own holiday.
What?
What do they do? We pick up their shit with our hands.
I was
going
to
say, feed them.
Give you love and
we. I get it. And I give them a home and support.
Wow.
I mean, especially cats, they're wild animals in our house. And they have no souls and there's only hate in their hearts. But I still disagree, though, because I think the holidays we celebrate are always like weird, broad concepts like Valentine's Day and I don't know what Christmas is about. and like, why not? It's so arbitrary. Why not have like bigger holidays where we celebrate like cats and dogs?
Yeah.
And we imprint our own personalities and moral code on them anyway. So I don't know.
All right, guys, you found me out. I was just being contrary.
Yeah.
I mean, love pets.
They're also, days of like eat two pies today day and stuff like that.
Yeah,
right. So why not?
Stupid. You know? Why not every other day be about our pets?
Yeah.
Sure. Why not? I was just taking a different stance because I feel like I've praised pets countless times
this
podcast.
That's true. You want a different viewpoint.
I just wanted to mix it up.
I get it.
There's a good Onion article about a guy enjoying special turtle time. And it's just about how he's playing with this creature that has no emotions and is just trying to escape him the entire time.
That's so fun. We
put a lot on our pets.
We do.
Right. It's trying to get to its next meal or shit or sleep.
Yeah. It's just a little robot that feels nothing.
Speaking of pets and, I don't know, other things we were talking about, thanks to BetterHelp. For supporting Even More News, for 10% off your first month, go to betterhelp.com/morenews. I'm going to say it again because I kind of fumbled it. Betterhelp.com/morenews. That's just one
times.
E, not several.
Yeah.
I just was emphasizing. So we prepared a normal episode and then realized, lucky for us, last night was the debate.
Yeah.
And it was a killer debate.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to talk a lot about the debate today.
I think I texted you guys and said something like, I'm going to watch it in the background. And that was entirely my intent. And then I just
impossible.
Couldn't stop
Can't
paying
look away.
Attention.
It was so entertaining. Where do we even begin?
Yeah, it was entertaining for sure. For sure.
And not that that's what it needs to be, but it was entertaining.
But also, like, that's what they want it to be. That's what at least the networks are hoping for.
For sure.
But I would also say that it was maybe not just like entertaining, but a good debate.
It was a good debate.
It's what primary should be about.
Yeah.
We've spent many, many months being like, well, don't like criticize each other. It's about Trump. It's like, well, no, it's about choosing who's best and like really differentiating each other and so on. Like, this is what primaries are for. So, and it was, I think, a very good example of that.
Absolutely.
Despite so many moments where they were going to cry into each other's fists.
Yes. Like, there were points where I was like, are they going to fight?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was intense. Let's start with who had a good night. It was Warren.
I would say
Warren and Bernie.
Michael Bloomberg.
Yeah,
if you could text Mike to 850102. This is just me talking for me and what I think. This is like my
don't
opinion that Mike did a really good job. And if you just text him and support him for no reason.
I went to the Bloomberg Reddit thread immediately after the debate because I knew that was going to be entertaining.
Yeah.
And my favorite comment was someone who said, I only started watching after 10 p.m., but it seemed like he was doing good. And I was like, oh, that's adorable.
I would love to go through that thread to see, because his...
I guess we're not starting with who did well.
Well, sorry.
That's fine. Let's talk about Bloomberg.
This is all a prelude to who did well.
Yeah, but let's start with Bloomberg.
Because one thing about Bloomberg's campaign is that a lot of people are doing it, obviously working for him for the money, obviously. And many of them are accepting jobs, but like canvassing for Bernie and things like that.
Right.
And there are a lot of leaks that are happening now. So basically every other day there's like, here's this internal memo from the Bloomberg campaign, or like, here are their talking points responding to these critiques. And I would be very interested to go to like that Reddit
Elizabeth
thread,
brought
like,
that up, right?
How many people, she brought up NDAs, right? Or
she also talked, somebody brought up memos. Maybe it was Bernie.
But yeah, so like just going through all these threads and being like, what's word for word the talking point that they were delivered? Like,
right.
Yeah.
Because a lot of, you can see that a lot of tweets like, oh, literally, like you're just copy pasting.
I'm happy to continue talking about Bloomberg for a bit here, because this was the debate, as according to Andrew Yang, all about Bloomberg. And it wasn't all about Bloomberg, but it was about Bloomberg. Because Bloomberg, as we all should know at this point, this was his first appearance on a debate stage at this late
I think it's the first time he's ever spoken to people about his opinions.
It would seem based on how...
It's amazing.
Yeah. I didn't even know what the sound of his voice was until this. He looked like a person who was trapped in a car filling with water slowly throughout the entire... Yeah. It was like you could watch the realization on his face more and more of like, oh, I'm really in over my head here.
I especially liked, there was a moment towards the beginning. He obviously didn't know where he was going with an answer, and he kept glancing down into the left, like wherever his notes might be.
Right.
I'm like, dude, we can all see you're in a close-up right now.
Yeah.
He was amazingly unprepared.
Yes.
Amazingly unprepared.
Wild.
I'm sure if you guys missed the debate, you've seen it on Twitter. Elizabeth Warren really went for it with him. I mean, everybody did, but she went for the throat. And it was incredible.
It was so good.
Within the first 2 minutes, comparing him to Donald Trump. And I made this point to Cody earlier, though. I don't know that he minds being compared to Donald Trump.
That's part of his pitch.
I think... Yeah. He's into it. It is part of his pitch. His only thing he said last night, essentially, was it takes a billionaire to beat a billionaire.
You want a sexist, racist billionaire to beat the other one.
I think that's what he. I think that's what he might have realized last night. Is I feel like he keeps repeating that, and you know he's so trapped in a bubble that whoever works for him is like, yeah, sure, but like you need like policies and stuff.
No policies.
Like, I'm gonna do it. And then he got on stage and he thought that's all he had to do. And then
things he's still gonna lean into it too. I think it's interesting with Bloomberg because most of the things he says, most of his pitches, are not really designed to win the primary, but rather to like disrupt it. He popped in. As Bernie was doing really well, it seems very transparent that his main target is to stop Bernie from winning the nomination.
He was talking about wanting to run before Bernie started surging.
There's a clip from like 5 months ago where he's like, yeah, I thought about it, but like, I don't want to, because that's, I'm too old, I don't want to. And also, he has said in the same clip that he, in order to win, he would have to change all of his opinions.
Oh,
so he knows. Yeah. He knows. And so when he comes in and he's like, the point of all this is to beat Donald Trump.
Yeah.
That allows him to not actually offer anything.
Yeah.
It's what he's doing. Every single one of his points, even like the Bernie Bros and like we got to beat Trump, and like the Jennifer Rubin tweet, like actually, Bloomberg is way richer than you, Donald Trump. All this stuff, things he says are just things, arguments that are really facile that never Trump Republicans have been saying.
Yeah.
He's their tool, basically. It's very, very transparent, especially when he gets up on stage and someone's like, we don't want you here.
Yeah, you could argue this is like a Hail Mary for like rich people.
Absolutely.
Like it feels that way.
It absolutely feels like, is.
Yeah, we know America knows which way things are going at this point.
Yes.
If not this next election, the next one. And so this feels like an act of desperation.
I mean, it absolutely is.
Yeah. It's really bad.
Let's talk about some of his important moments. Okay, so there.
So we do all agree that he did the best.
Yeah,
the best.
Okay.
I think he did a great job responding to Elizabeth Warren, bringing up the NDAs of all the women that he made sign.
He was like, I have no tolerance for that kind of behavior. Half the behavior is you, buddy.
Yeah.
You have no tolerance for your behavior, is what you're saying.
But
it's
no.
It's so funny.
We both entered, we consensually entered these agreements and they will be honored. Mm-hmm. What? And Elizabeth, but what I love about Elizabeth, she just kept coming back. She mm-hmm. wasn't letting his answer be the end word. She was like, we all know what an NDA is. We all know that these people were forced to sign it. They were given money and told to sign it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just kept reiterating, will you commit?
Also
releasing them from their NDAs.
Yeah, and she kept going for it. It was great. Props to Biden, too, actually.
Yeah, Biden.
He followed up with that. He's like, no. Here's how it works.
Yeah. Yes,
they do this, and then you say this, and then you stop them from talking. That's how it works.
He certainly did shout that.
He shouted. He was so mad.
Bloomberg, it's like a rodeo clown. Like, it serves the purpose of everybody gets to stop and have a break for a second.
He's the unity candidate.
Yeah, it's just like, okay, we're all infighting. But let's take a second to dunk on Bloomberg for a second.
Although I will say, he is not quite the unity candidate. To the guy who's claiming that he's the unity candidate, you'll notice that Pete Buttigieg did not even acknowledge that Bloomberg was on the stage.
Yes.
Yeah.
At all. And just going to take note of that. Maybe the candidate who all the billionaires love is maybe maneuvering in a way for the future. I don't know.
It's a possibility. The other thing I wanted to bring up is his response to the stop and frisk question. Also, by the way, I thought the moderators did a great job. Mostly. I thought that there were some really important questions. This was being one of them. Addressing
there were some good questions. There were some bad questions.
Sure. We'll get to that.
Yeah. It's wild.
They did much better than other moderators, personally.
It's hard for me to assess that because I feel like everyone debating did a better job, and it was a more interesting debate to watch.
There were several questions that I just really appreciated, such as the line of questioning to Klobuchar about Mayan Burrell.
Mm-hmm,
we mentioned this on the Amy Klobuchar episode of Worst Year Ever. There were just some hard-hitting questions that I appreciated. I'm not saying that they did perfect. But
I think that one thing that's really lacking, they had no foreign policy questions whatsoever. Yeah. That's bizarre. Even to, talk about the military, I don't know, talk about anything. But also, they have yet to really ask Pete a tough question. In the same way of the Klobuchar question, which is great to get into. They don't really do that for him.
Yeah.
And there's a lot.
They really don't.
There's a lot that you could ask him about.
Anyway.
But.
I'd started to enter this, so I'm coming back. Stop and frisk. Bloomberg failed. He failed. He failed. He did not address it appropriately.
He
said it was, it was there were bad things happened and we stopped. But but you have to understand that the crime rates did go down, blah, blah, blah. And I loved Warren. I loved Elizabeth Warren bringing it back, not letting him off the hook, saying, no, it was willful ignorance. You can't sit here and say that you did not know the ramifications of what was happening because people were protesting in the streets. People were telling you. So do not change what happened.
Yeah. It's wild. He keeps getting away with that. We're people protested. And then literally a judge told you that it was unconstitutional. You were forced to stop it. You weren't forced to get frisked. It was very satisfying, too, because when he did that, I was like, well, actually, because the actual thing he said was, problem is how stop and frisk turned out.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And he was like, it became racist or something. Someone was like, no, it was racist from
immediately
the start.
I was like, no, it's not how it turned out. It's what it is.
Yeah.
And then everyone on stage said the same thing. I was like, yes, that's you like
it was so satisfying.
Yeah. I think that's what made this debate really good is they would say the things that you wanted to shout at the screen while it was happening.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There were a few that that were frustrating to not have that happen. I was like, no, say this. More often than not.
He obviously wants to be seen as the Donald Trump of the left. Donald Trump tanked in his debate performances, so I wonder how much it matters how well he did up there, especially considering the alarming statistics of how much money in ad space he's buying up in other key states. I heard 99.9% or something like that of ad space in Arkansas, Oklahoma, Virginia.
Saying is we're the 1%.
Yeah. And he's currently polling in a tie with Sanders in those states, mm-hmm. or at least some of them. Yeah.
It's grotesque as well.
It's grotesque.
Yes.
He is. And even here, he's not going to get traction here, which probably blocks his way to actually getting the nomination. I don't know.
Yeah, no, again, like, he's not trying to win. He's not he's not going to be the nominee. He doesn't want to be the nominee. He wants to fuck Bernie Sanders. That's why he is there.
And it's probably why he didn't prepare on that stage.
Yeah, also, he's as a billionaire, he's never been told he is wrong.
And
so
it all
got up there. It's like, oh, what? Oh,
it
no.
is.
It really comes down to, it is about the wealth tax. I mean, he straight up said that. He's like, I'm okay with raising taxes on the wealthy, but I'm not for the wealth tax.
It is really scary.
Yeah.
Because it's a guy who sucks, very obviously, running for president for a clearly personal, greedy reason. And the last time that happened, they became president, and everybody thought he wouldn't. And I feel, I do think that's why this election is important, only in that Donald Trump has kind of put out the signal that this can happen. Like, I see someone like Bloomberg seeing what happened with Trump and being like, oh, I can do that.
Yeah.
I can now. Apparently you can just do that now and you can be a grifter and people will elect you president.
Yeah. I think this is a concern. I think a big difference. A, Donald Trump didn't do well in the debates, but he was very confident in the debates and he like tore people up.
Even though
you can watch and be like, oh, Donald Trump did it bad in what we think of as politicians. But like Bloomberg just ate shit up.
Yeah,
there.
He tanked.
Yeah.
There was no confidence. There was no like, it was bad.
You could tell. You could read it all over his face.
But also what Donald Trump was doing is saying the quiet part loud of what the party thinks. That's one of the, that's why he won, because he was saying what people wanted him to say. Bloomberg is a Republican. He is to the right of the Democratic Party, which is like center left. I don't know. But like what Bloomberg is, he does not belong in the party. Donald Trump belonged in the GOP.
Yeah.
That's one thing that makes me not as worried about.
Yeah. I think the debate was about him because it was like everybody like, what the fuck is this guy doing here?
And
it was just so.
And not in a way of like when Bernie Sanders is up there, people are like, well, he's not even a Democrat. It's like, well, yeah, but he's like a left-leaning politician.
Yeah.
What do you, like, there are two parties. What are you talking about? As opposed to, it'd be like if Elizabeth Warren was running for the Republican nomination.
Yeah. Right.
Also, she was like crass clown. Yeah. That didn't know anything. And
one thing I wanted to bring up about Bloomberg before we move on is that him tanking up there really helps Biden, probably. Like the people that are like, never mind, I'm Bloomberg, we'll go to Biden. And my friend was texting me about that, and then Biden started speaking, and I was like, well, until he talks,
right? That's the problem.
I mean, it's still better, but he's still for moderate people that might vote for Bloomberg, he's the most, might be the most appealing option after or Pete.
It definitely helped Biden in the moment. I think Biden up there was thinking like, ha, who's not the jackass anymore?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, like, he looked downright likable up there again. I've mentioned Warren a bunch. Let's talk about her, and then I want to talk about Bernie and the others.
Yeah, you wanted to get into actually who did well.
Yeah,
and
let's
then
talk
I derailed
about
it by shilling for Mike Bloomberg,
who
I think is really a great candidate, did a really great job. He's new to this. Text Mike to 85021.
Let's talk about who did well. We needed to get that out of the way. It's the elephant in the room that we're all thinking about.
I should note, you guys brought up a very good point about, I don't like Trump, but I can see the qualities in him that people might find likable. Mm-hmm. Bloomberg
doesn't have.
He's a lizard.
He's
a terrible. Yeah, he's a real Romney, that guy.
Yeah. Also, his odious views that he's incapable of arguing for.
Yeah.
It's very funny that he can't even be like, well, actually, I think, like, cut Medicare because they're old.
Yeah.
It's great.
I'm desperate to talk about who did well instead of Bloomberg.
Who do you think did well?
Warren did well.
Warren?
I mean,
so did Bernie. I was impressed by both of them, but we're going to start with Warren.
Absolutely.
Obviously, she really went for it. She went for everybody. She did good. She did good. I did not like one of her answers when she started to go for Bernie, part of it being like, we all know that that doesn't go well. And I'm glad that she did not continue to do that throughout the debate. I think that was smart.
I agree.
I really, really appreciated when she defended Amy Klobuchar up there.
That was great.
When Pete was
really
doing
a
baseless attack. I mean, look. The moment I'm referring to was Pete hammering Amy, saying that she doesn't have experience because she forgot the president of Mexico's name on a Telemundo interview. And look, that was bad. I don't think it's good. But
it was one of the things where, like, as soon as they started arguing, it's like, ah, Pete, you're making me. No, leave Amy alone. You suck. You suck more.
And also, like, come on, that's not fair. We all know she's a smart woman and she's got a lot of experience. And there's, you know, she forgot a name.
Yeah.
It's not great.
It was not a good look for Pete to hammer her.
It was very weird. And Elizabeth getting up there and saying, like, no, stop it. We all know she's smart. She's more than capable. People forget names. It's all this stuff happening. Like, you forget something important. You forget, like, you totally mess something up. Okay, let's talk about that. But this is a waste of our time. Hell yeah, girl.
Yeah.
That was incredible. And I thought that she had really great answers. I really appreciated what she did last night. And people have been saying it all over Twitter, but this was a return to form for her. It was like, oh, there's the woman that we were fighting for. And I know at this point, I don't think that she's going to get the nomination. But as somebody that really likes her, I'm grateful to have seen her back.
Yeah, that's we were talking about it before we were recording. And like, this is a performance, and I don't call it a performance, it's her being herself. But like, this is the kind of stuff that she's so good at, and it's great to watch her do. I wish that there's a billionaire on stage every single debate so she could eat them alive.
Yeah.
And it's when she dips into the campaign-y stuff, like the things where it's like, oh, you're like, your advisors are like getting you like, lean on this, do this. A lot of the, like, we're going to talk about like some stuff after the debate that she gets into. That really rubs me the wrong way. But when she's just like, who she is and like what she's passionate about last night is when she's at her best. And
it's tricky.
I'm glad to see her do that.
It's so hard. And you mentioned this before we were recording. Like, you see people online, a lot of people being like, well, I didn't like it. She was being mean.
Yeah. Nasty is a word. Nasty. I heard a lot, which is
she's
wild.
Being nasty. And so what we see and part of what really frustrates me when we talk about Elizabeth Warren and people, and I understand why people are disappointed with her. I understand why they jump to, I don't trust her because, you know, maybe she's changing her tactics up there and being a politician, but she's also getting a different level of scrutiny. And there's like there's a different type of pressure on her if she is going to try to navigate this to get the nomination. And she needs to differentiate herself from Bernie. And that's tough because they basically agree on stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And it's hard. It's hard. Yeah. And no matter what she does, there's going to be people that are trashing her.
Yes.
And that's true of anybody, but like it's uniquely specific for a female candidate.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I wouldn't say that they basically agree on everything, but I know what you mean, like, by that.
I think the criticism,
the nasty stuff, the resistance liberals coming out last night, like, ah, she's too nasty. That's like, guys, no.
That's I do not like. I don't understand that.
I just think that she had
idea it that ruled.
It was like I don't think there should be winners in.
She also wasn't nasty.
Debates,
right, you're not like a Chris Cillizza. Doing your like your flams and like cheers and jeers of the debate,
right? But she won the debate.
I mean,
right. I mean, she Bernie's always good. He's doing his thing, but she was on fucking fire.
Yeah.
And she wasn't nasty. She was
she was
saying stuff, but she was still being kind of her sweet self.
No,
she was still saying like, well, that and that, and she's not letting emotions get the best of her in any capacity.
Mm-hmm. Pete was kind of nasty.
Yeah.
You know, Pete was nasty. And Klobuchar did let her emotions get the best of her. We'll get to that.
Yeah, we'll get to
that. You know, Elizabeth was great. And I just bring that up. It's just interesting. I think that when we get some perspective on this and you can see it a little bit clearer, it's like, well, she gets criticized early on for being too much of one way or this. And then you try to position yourself in a different way and that falls flat. And now people call you inauthentic. And Bernie doesn't have that. And also Bernie wouldn't accept it. Bernie wouldn't capitulate or cave. I get that. But it's just, it's very different.
There was always this question of who can debate Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And Bernie always seemed to be a good candidate because he's got that raw old man, I don't care thing. Like he would eat a plate of spaghetti in a movie theater. like he just doesn't give a shit.
That is so funny. Yeah, yeah.
And Warren always, like, she had that touch. Like I loved Warren longer than I've known, like, about Bernie and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And she always had the, you know, I believe in what she believes, but she always had that touch of politician.
Yeah.
And it did feel like last night was Warren just not giving a shit.
Well,
right, and that's
it
what
was like. Oh, I.
It's what she needed.
This. Yeah,
yeah. That's and why, now, and that's when she's at her best. Where she's like, I don't care.
Right, and I'm the way I've always thought, like, oh, I want to see Bernie debate Trump. Now I feel the same about Warren.
Yeah,
like, I want to see her take.
Really, really, really want that. But I still, I mean,
also wouldn't mind seeing her debate Mike Pence, but.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if that would happen, if he would pick her as the VP after everything.
I
would love it, but I don't know. I would appreciate seeing her debate Pence. It's just, I still don't know that she could win. And I hate saying that. But again, after the backlash and the way even people on our side talk about her and immediately jump in again, I understand. It's just the extreme vitriol, the level of it, the sexism that I see online. And I hate to say that. Don't call me sexist for saying this. It breaks my heart to say it. I don't know. I don't know.
What? With the sexism online? I mean, it is a thing.
I just like, I literally don't know if a woman could beat Donald Trump.
Oh, I think she could. I think
a woman could.
Yeah, I do think
Donald Trump. He's a piece of shit.
Hillary, there was obviously the sexism with Hillary, but she had a bigger problem, which is the problem that Biden would have. And it's she's just so perfectly ingrained in politics that it was really easy to go after.
Yeah, she represents everything that, like, Donald Trump is pretending to be against.
I would love you guys to be right. I would love it. I'm very disheartened after all of just our conversations, you know.
Another thing to keep in mind that I forget constantly is that because I'm always on Twitter, and then the moment I go out of Twitter and talk to people who don't go on the internet, it's not the same.
You're 100% right, and I do forget that. And I've had that conversation this week, and yet I still forget it.
but it also goes
for us when we think about Bernie. Like, Bernie seems very electable to us right now, and he might be. Cody, I know you believe firmly, and I want it to be true.
I do believe firmly.
It's hard. I just feel like feel all jaded and traumatized still from 2016.
Yeah, that's the thing. There's so much self-doubt now because no one saw it coming.
Yeah, that's that's the other thing about Bloomberg that kind of bothers me. And like this approach and like a lot of the conversation around like the Trump, the general election, we forget that actually, and like, oh, why aren't you focusing on Donald Trump now? A, we're in a primary, but also people forget it is actually very easy to beat Donald Trump. It's very easy.
I hope.
It really is.
We haven't yet.
We haven't yet, but it is very easy. Aside from the fact that, like, she won the popular vote, she was not a great candidate.
I know.
And, like, I think we all agree on that she's a, whether or not you agree that she would have been, like, a bad president or, like, she's not a good actual, like, person at governance or whatever, she's not good at campaigning. She's not a good campaigner.
Yeah.
She's bad at the politician part. And then, like, the Comey letter, everything around 2016, it's actually easy to beat Donald Trump.
Yeah.
He's really unlikable.
I need to hear that. That's good.
I think never underestimate, like, a slogan that's memorable and, like, a fancy hat or a good shirt. Because Obama had that, too, which is just, like, that was the one thing Hillary was definitely missing is that she seemed to...
She made it about herself.
It was because we all just figured, oh, this is an easy one. But she wasn't like saying like build a wall is a dumb thing to say, but it was a politician saying, I'm going to do this thing and it's going to solve the problems.
Right.
And I don't remember Hillary having any of that, you know?
No,
it was a vague like Democratic platform and then I'm not him. You're actually with me.
Yeah. But at the same time, you're also right about her being a woman and what that must have done. Like it's scary.
Just contrasting that with like, Medicare for all, that's a phrase that's easy and it's actually a good idea. Not me, us. That's something that like actually brings people together. They're like, I'm not saying like just specifically that, but like it's easy to combat and beat Donald Trump. I really do think that.
All right. We're going to take a quick break and then we're going to come back, talk about everyone else. It's going to be great. Cool?
Cool. Very cool.
Are there things that are interfering with your happiness and goals? Well then, maybe BetterHelp's online counseling can help you. Connect with a personal counselor in a safe and private and convenient online environment, free from the unsafe, public, toxic online environments in which we regularly spend our time. Anything you share is confidential, and if you're not happy with your counselor for any reason, you can request a new one at any time.
There are numerous ways to communicate with your counselor: text, chat, phone, video. I'm going with text. I don't like talking on the phone.
I know you don't.
And they cover a wide range of topics: stress, anxiety, grief, self-esteem, sexual identity, and more. I could list but won't because we have limited time, and I think a better use of that time is explaining why I won't list more as opposed to actually listing more. But anyway, mental health is important. We talk about it a lot on our podcast that you're listening to, and how, hey, maybe it should be free. Everyone can benefit from therapy, and many don't even know how beneficial it can be. The hardest part for me personally has been to actually do it, like to go and sign up, and you do it, and you say you're going to do it, and you go to someone, and you talk, and you do it. If that's hard for you, whether the reason is personal or financial, maybe BetterHelp can help. Get 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/evenmore. Fill out a questionnaire to help them assess your needs and get matched with a counselor. Start communicating in under 24 hours. That's BetterHelp.com/evenmore for 10% off your first month.
Do not think it is a crisis line. Don't say that we told you it's a crisis line, because it is not a crisis line. And we're back.
The stage. Yeah.
That's like the wrestling.
America. Politics.
Let's talk about Bernie Sanders some more, because we have talked about him. Yeah, go ahead, Dave.
Oh, no, sorry.
No, I just going to say he was great.
I was going to say.
He was wonderful.
So you could have said it.
I was like going back and forth between Elizabeth and Bernie being like, wow, wow, wow. I mean, I literally said wow three times to Bernie's answers. One of them being the way he handled the conversation about his supporters. I thought he did a wonderful job.
Yeah.
I thought he made an excellent case. And it made the other people look bad who kept coming at him, especially Pete.
Back at
just
Pete.
Kept
Let
coming.
It go, Pete.
It was
oh
like,
my
Pete,
God.
You look stupid now. And I'm glad that Warren didn't pursue it.
Yeah.
And then look, you guys all know that I believe it is a problem within his campaign. I also do believe and understand that it's a problem across the board and that everything is ratcheted up right now.
Would you say it's a problem with his campaign or with some of his supporters?
With his supporters. I'm sorry. I don't mean his campaign. But I've never sat here saying, like, it's Bernie Sanders' fault. I don't think
right.
that.
I think the issue is that everyone who's talking about it does say that.
No, that's a ridiculous thing to say. I mean, I think that he could address it a little bit more, but I know, Cody, you made this point earlier, you can make it now.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
well, yeah, so one of the issues, because like you're saying, like, you have this view that actually isn't the one that's being expressed when it's brought up in the media.
Sure.
Or on stage. It's the kind of thing that, like, a lot of the Corbyn stuff and like a lot of the things they try to do with him is that as soon as you acknowledge it and say, like, oh, this, and then you start hammering on it, then they're only going to talk about that. They're only going to focus on
yeah.
it as if it's a very important campaign issue.
Yeah.
As opposed to the actually important things that he wants to talk about, or that all the candidates should be talking about, instead of online supporters.
Yeah.
It's kind of an embarrassing thing.
And it also
to focus
could
on.
Quickly, you know, people could read that as that him throwing them under the bus.
Right. And it gives people the opportunity to also say, like I think either yesterday or earlier today, Warren was asked about it, and she started talking about, like, yeah, I think, you know, he needs to take responsibility, and, like, we're, you know, we need to not build our movement on a foundation of hate. And, like, that's like, what? Did you just say that he's building a campaign on a foundation of hate?
I mean, I suppose I don't take it to mean that. I think that that's a more general statement, but I do understand why it's
yeah.
perceived that way.
It's like really, it gives these opportunities for people to, like, build narrative that's not.
Wait,
yeah.
Go ahead, Dave.
Oh, no, I think what I've gotten from Warren with this stuff is that I think she legitimately doesn't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
And it's more like a personal gripe between her and Bernie, because every time she addresses it, she seems to deflect.
Yeah.
And I think that can be interpreted what you're saying. But I think it's more that she's like, no, it's the politician thing. She doesn't want to just say, like, no, I don't think that's an issue, because people seem to be concerned about it. So she's just like, no, I think we should be civil and we don't want to run things on hate. Anyway, and then she'll go on, and it feels like she's
I agree.
Saying something to just sort of not It's one of those few times a politician deflects that I'm like, it's probably a good idea.
Probably for the best.
Yeah, I mean, I hope that's what's behind it. It's like, it's not how the media uses it to present this other thing. And that's why I'm like, don't even talk about it. Ignore it. Because as soon as you give them a little bit, they will circle and they'll just build it up to be like, oh, the Trumpian Bernie Sanders.
It's hard though, and because very, very, on the other hand, insidious. A lot of her supporters feel it keenly, you know, and again, I understand. I mean, and like the way he phrased it last night was really good. You should see the ugly, racist, sexist things people of color, women on my campaign receive. I believe it.
Yeah,
I 100% believe that. And I hate that. And then it's hard because a lot of it is between Bernie and Warren, because they are the two progressive candidates.
They're all fighting and for like, a better world, and like, they think that their path is the best way.
I understand why people are frustrated with her regarding it. I also don't know a better way for her to navigate it. Like what you were saying, like the moving through it, addressing it, and kind of not trying.
Yeah, it's hard, and it's just how they use it. And like when Pete keeps coming back, Pete kept coming back to so many things.
Yeah, it was embarrassing.
Leave it alone, buddy.
Okay, well. You were saying the moderators don't ask him hard questions, which you're right. But I do think they set him up to fail a couple times because there was the Bernie's health and the supporters. Bernie gave a really good answer. And then they turn to Pete and they're like, do you accept that answer? And he can't just go, yeah.
Right. He has to be a little,
He has to say, well, no. But it's like, do you accept that really good answer?
Right. That's it.
And like
really
Pete has to act like a real asshole.
They did give him a lot of opportunities to be a real piece of shit.
Yeah.
Like, hey, Pete, do you want to be a prick right now?
Yeah.
Here's the ledge. Jump right off.
Right. And like with Bernie, the online, all the mean tweets and stuff.
Oop, oop.
When he talks about that, I'm using him as his example, but it's the media in general. It's like the conversation. They're like, oh, this didn't happen before Bernie ran for president. And like, you got to take responsibility for everybody. Like, you're the guy. So you need to take responsibility for it. It's all this fault. You set the tone of your campaign, all this sort of stuff. In the same sentence that he's talking about this, in the same sentence, he's like, "But we're trying to bring an end to the Trump era." What do you mean by the Trump era, Pete? You're talking about mean people online, and you're blaming Bernie Sanders in the same breath that you're complaining about Donald Trump.
Yeah, like, it's just
the idea that like it came from him, as opposed to the past 4 years where we've all been like treating everyone in the GOP like garbage online, calling them ghouls, saying we need to go to Mitch McConnell's diner and get in his face.
Cody's literally
like
just reading his old tweets now.
Like, it's very frustrating when like you have all these people doing this and like building up all this anger and vitriol and like aiming it at these people. And as soon as they get a mean tweet, you're like, wow, this is not how we beat Donald Trump.
Right.
Excuse me? It actually kind of is.
Yeah, because I mean, I tweeted about throwing poop at Mitch McConnell, and like, I kind of believe in it because there's a point where when they're just spitting in our faces constantly, stuff like this acquittal where it's like, oh, we're helpless. Mm-hmm. These people are untouchable and they're just blatantly breaking the law. It's sort of like, what else can we do?
What else can we do besides wait?
When
like,
they're gerrymandering
years
to keep
vote,
themselves.
Like, that's it.
Yeah. And it's just like, you kind of have to say like, okay, you're not allowed in society. And I'm not really calling for violence and calling for going to their houses or anything involving their families.
Yeah.
But there's nothing wrong with yelling at someone that they suck on the street if they're fucking you over.
Especially
every
politicians.
Day.
Like this idea of like, oh, they're being mean to a politician.
Yeah.
Grow up.
Yeah.
Like grow up.
I want to bring it back to Bernie's performance last night because there are some other moments I want to address. One of them being, you know, we're used to the idea of democratic socialism being brought up. Mm. And, you know, Bloomberg up there said, refer to it as communism.
Yeah.
And
the like, many boo-urns of
God, they all boo-urns.
Oh, God, there's so many things you could say about Bloomberg that we didn't quite say. But yes, that's one of them. The crowd gasping at him several times, like when he said, I don't know how long it'll take to release my tax returns. The crowd, how dare you? Anyway, Bernie. The democratic socialism question. I thought he crushed it. I thought he crushed it in a way. It was so much, he had to handle it so much more deftly than he has in the past, which is to say we already have democratic socialism here.
Yeah.
We already have it. We have it at the top. We have it in general. You know, like we do. We have elements of it. And like pointing to the countries, it's like, no, it's not communism. Let's point to Denmark. Let's point to the places where.
Yeah, good point, Pete.
And yes, they are smaller. They are smaller countries, but yeah. we're bigger. We've got more revenue. We create more revenue to pour into the system.
Also,
when... When Pete brought up Denmark and Bernie started laughing, I knew exactly what Bernie was thinking.
It's like making a note, like, I will be coming back to this, Pete. Thank you very much.
I thought that was excellent and well-articulated and necessary. And the... Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I just... Personally, I have kind of have an issue with the whole like socialism for the rich thing, because that's not really what it is. It's a good line, and I think it is effective for people. I've seen a lot of people like, oh, that makes sense to me.
I mean, I could have seen him explicate
it more. It's not what it is.
I mean, you know, Medicare in like, general, the stuff that we have, Social Security, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, like...
Oh, for sure. No, that stuff, for sure. All, I mean, but when you're like the tax breaks and all that
absolutely.
Stuff, like, that's not socialism.
I understand. I understand. I think that that's a good line that can hit home with a lot of people. I wish... that there was some more examples that are like, the things that you kind of just take for granted that you use.
And we as a society can decide that we want a thing. That's the whole point. Yeah. And it baffles me. It's kind of a weird like practice run of like running against a Republican.
Yeah.
Because they're using Bloomberg uses all the like the Republican arguments against what was going on stage.
Yeah.
But like this idea of like, well, we shouldn't do that and we shouldn't do that. Don't you people think we're the best country in the world? Don't you think we can do anything?
Yeah. Right.
But like that would be bad for us. We'd do it poorly. Oh, I thought we could do anything. What are you talking about?
The socialism for the rich, I think, was necessary too.
Yeah.
Because that is, I think that's Bernie's biggest weak spot, right? His biggest vulnerability is just that's the communism, and so him sort of putting it away that I think the average person would go, yeah.
Right.
That is what's happening.
Yeah, no, for and that's sure. It works and it's effective. It's just when I hear like, that's not quite.
Yeah,
but I think it is. It is effective, and yeah, like if you were audibly going yeah when you're watching it.
Yeah, the other thing, climate change.
Oh yeah,
there is this moment. Ooh, baby, it was so good when he was talking about climate change being an existential crisis. Quote: "Do you know what that means, Chuck?"
Beautiful.
Oh, it was so good. It was so good. Although that does remind me of another moment that I loved of Elizabeth Warren's, which is that she brought climate change back to the socioeconomic and people of color, which was so good and necessary.
Yeah,
and something that all those white people just keep forgetting up there.
Yeah, they keep forgetting. It's weird. The reverse happened at, like an old debate, right? Like where Bernie was asked about like communities of color and he started bringing up the climate change and like, no, we asked about this. It's like, yeah, I know. I'm talking about environmental justice. We'll get to it.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I like that. I do agree with Bernie Sanders that Chuck Todd is stupid. and he doesn't know what that word means because he's stupid. Just real quick, in relation to the democratic socialism question and like the communism thing that Bloomberg did, it is interesting that it is kind of a mock debate with like your standard like online Republican. Because he did that, but he also did the three houses thing.
Yeah.
I actually do think that Bernie needs to be better at answering that and like combating it, because it's silly on its face. It's the cartoon we all see of the like, you participate in society. It's that. Also, his wife's family like sold their family house and that's how they got the cabin. But I just think it was a little fumbly.
Yeah.
Because I think that he's like, why are you even like what? Like the argument that Bloomberg is making is stupid, so he wasn't necessarily prepared to answer it. I think he needs to be stronger on that.
That was the only point I thought Bernie Sanders might hit him. He was mad.
Yes, he was. He was visibly
mad. I mean, it was so stupid.
But like, just like that general idea, like there's something that people don't, I think, really discuss or like acknowledge, where like the difference between $1 million and $1 billion. Is astronomical. It is like you can't even fathom the difference between that amount.
Also, this keeps happening with there was that guy who tweeted Bernie Sanders in First Class recently, and I thought this back when I would see all the things of him and Warren in Coach. Whenever I see those things of them in Coach, I think that's fake. Do what an American would do and just go to First Class because you can afford it, because we all like better things. And I think when talking about Bernie Sanders, you put it really well to me a while back, which is it's about bringing the bottom up. It's about making the base quality of life better. Yeah. And kind of you can assure Americans like you can still like be better than people. Like, that's what people are scared of. Everybody wants to hit it big. Everyone wants to be rich. And it's like, you, for
still
Sanders,
get to be rich.
Yeah, you can still do that. You can still feel better, even if that's like a bad emotion to tap into. And so
we're not
like,
taking away your American right,
it's the,
right
it's the terror
to feel
of
better
like,
than others.
Well, if he does this, then like we'll all have the exact same amount of money and life and things.
Yeah.
It's like no. It's right, like it's lifting up the poor so that when you lift up the floor, the ceiling has to get higher too.
Yeah.
And when he's like with Bloomberg of all people are calling him out on his three houses, like I kind of wanted him to respond the way Bloomberg did before, where he was just like, yeah, I'm a million years old. I've been working a lot.
I got
three houses. Where Bloomberg said the same thing, but it was so hollow when he was like, I earned that. It's like, no, you didn't.
$62 billion.
I mean, he did say, like, my house in D.C., my home, and then a cabin.
Yeah.
Sure. I just think it need he can tie it together a little better. One more thing. The Bernie's health thing is very frustrating because of the information that he actually did release. And if you actually, like, every doctor I've seen, every medical professional I've seen has been like, actually, all the information he gave is exactly what we would want for somebody who is this has happened to.
Yeah.
It's very, it's a disingenuous conversation to me, especially when like Candace's like, yeah, I think that he needs to release more.
Yeah.
I don't buy into that. I think it's
one more thing that they can try to hold on to.
And it disappoints me when like Candace sort of like play into it. But also, I keep seeing it being like presented like, well, what happens if something happens in his term? Well, then the vice president becomes the president.
That's why we have that.
That's why we want Warren to be vice president. But also, like, one thing I think people don't necessarily understand when they talk about this is that, like, it comes back to the phrase of not me, us, where, like, people aren't voting for him specifically, the person, and like, oh no, if something happens to him, then we're done. It's about the movement. It's about, like, what everyone's doing together. I don't think he'll ever on stage be like, if I die, who gives a shit? You know, we're all in this together. It doesn't matter if I die. Like, I don't think he'll do that.
I don't know.
I'm just saying, like, that's what I think he should say.
Okay, we really need to move on to some other people. We've talked about Pete in passing a lot, so let's go straight to Amy. Amy is better than Pete.
Sure. Yeah.
Did better. No, I don't like either of them. But the show, it was interesting. Both of them spent the majority of their debate. They were in a different debate.
Yes.
They were in a debate with each other.
Absolutely.
Is, I guess, the point I want to make.
She hates him so much.
They hate each other.
He hates her so much.
It was so intense. I don't know if she actually cried, but it seemed like it.
Yeah, I didn't tweet this. I texted you privately.
Yeah.
And some folks. Because during that exchange, her eyes did get wet, and the bottom of her eyelashes seemed forming in them, and that's fine. I'm not saying anything.
I'm very well connected to my emotions. I cry all the time.
Exactly.
And that's not a diss. But we don't want that on a debate stage with Donald Trump.
Yeah. No. I mean, that stuff about her staffers and her staff and the way she treats them. She just seems mean.
It seems true.
And I assume that's an anger issue, which again, it feels like this is that thing that like I would hate to hear said about Warren.
Well, it's hard because
it would feel very sexist.
It seems sexist. It's a difficult.
But there's a difference between like,
she seems
you're nasty
to have,
on stage as opposed to like you're an abusive person to the people.
Yeah, but she has a history.
I think you're right. Like there seems to be, it seems like she might be a nice person that has anger issues or whatever. I don't know because I don't know her. But there's something there for sure.
Yeah. And if it comes out like when you're talking to Pete Buttigieg of all people.
What will happen with Donald Trump? And the other thing I wanted.
Pete, like imagine him debating Donald Trump without Pete.
The other point I wanted to bring up with Amy, and I mentioned it earlier, is when the moderators brought up the Mayan Burrell case. If you guys don't know about this, well, you should listen to our Worst Year Ever episode that released this week. It is a case that she prosecuted when she was the attorney, Hennepin County or whatever it was. I don't remember off the top of my head, in Minnesota. And it is a baffling case how they got this guy convicted. I mean, there's so much, you know, people recanting, they dismissing evidence. The guy literally not being like being on camera somewhere else at the time of the incident. The guy that actually shot the girl, it was a little girl that got killed, later saying it was me. Literally saying it was me. I mean, like, that would probably was after the time that this was prosecuted, but like, it was rife with problems, and she prosecuted it anyway. She got this kid a life sentence. Yeah, and you know, not pursuing cop shootings, and they brought that up too, I believe, last night. You know, and she said, or maybe it was in the Mayan case, but
it was related. They mentioned it in the question, but they wasn't addressed. And like, yeah, the cot stuff we talked about.
Yeah.
On the podcast, like, you're making decisions that
also seemed a little emotional and close to tears then. But she just reiterated the like same stock line of like, well, if there's more information that's come out, then it should be reevaluated. You're not addressing the point, right, which is you at least partially knew that you might have the wrong guy at the time.
Yeah.
Like, you, there's no way you didn't there's no way you didn't know how shoddy the evidence was. And that they were paying people for confessions and shit like that.
Yeah, and if you didn't, then...
And if you didn't, you weren't good at your job. Either way, it's not a good look.
Yeah, and she can sort of pivot away from it, unlike Bloomberg with Stop and Frisk.
Right.
Where it's like, it's so blatant that it's like, he can't just be like, yeah, well, he tried. He's like, we've all made mistakes. Yeah. And it's like, yeah.
Also, like, there's so many clips of him talking about it over the years where it's like, oh, no, you just... Yeah. You're like, yeah, we target them because that... It, like, hearing him talk about it, it's like, oh, you're...
Yeah.
You're bad, and you know it was bad, and
You're bad.
Yeah. But with Klobuchar and Pete,
it's really funny stuff.
They looked like, terrible, Klobuchar and Pete. Yeah, though, right.
Yeah,
they didn't.
No, I don't think I.
They didn't. It didn't work out.
I don't think they helped either of their cases.
People are like trying to play it up, but like I don't think Pete looked good at all the entire time. Oh. Speaking of
the stubble,
how Pete looked, I did want to mention the stubble.
Bring up the stubble.
That stubble.
So the stubble is very funny to me for a lot of reasons, and one is that it was very clearly deliberate, and I know this because otherwise he would have shaved.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
The freaks that work at his campaign and like all like the just like, no, he's very meticulous. They would look at him and go, oh, you need to shave real quick. So it was definitely a choice.
Yeah.
To make him look, you know, like maybe tougher, probably older. He doesn't like being called the little kid on stage. I'm sure a little boy mayor.
He just looks sloppy.
And so like there's like an image aspect of it. He's like, well, I'm tough. I'm ragged. I'm an adult. I'm an adult man. But his couple that with his performance at the debate and the things he was doing and saying and the way he was acting, it only made him look tired. That's and frustrated.
It's like a cartoon where you want to show that something's taken a toll on someone. You have them stubble.
Absolutely.
It's very funny, like knowing what went into the thought process of like, well, what if you'd like have a little stubble, but then the actual effect was like, oh no, you look like a...
Guessing what went into the thought process.
Yeah, a lot
process.
Of assumptions there.
You don't
but, like,
know, but you're probably
debate,
right.
Come on. Like, Las Vegas, he could have had a night.
He could have had
a night.
Night
in Vegas.
He went
you never know.
Tied one on the night before. Mm-hmm. I think that was a pretty good conversation about the debate. I want to say...
This is Biden erasure, but...
It's fine. We've mentioned him in passing, and that's all that matters. Truly, I don't know what he did other than he did a good job bolstering
NDAs that one time.
Bolstering Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah. He had that confused. I don't understand why people don't like me attitude that he always has.
The less he talked, the better last night, because it only makes him look worse. let Bloomberg do the heavy lifting for him. I just wanted to leave us with this, some stats. So this was obviously the debate for the Nevada caucus coming up in a couple days. And in 2016, 84,000 people total voted. In 2020, so far, with early voting alone, 77,000 people have voted already. So you can assume that numbers will be higher after the actual caucus. But one point that's important is that if you're hoping this debate will move the needle on this weekend's election, it might not, because 77,000 people have already voted. And like, it makes me, you know, like you would hope to see a bump in Warren's numbers, say. I would hope. Yeah. One would hope. Sure. This one does.
I would hope.
I imagine.
At least I still think, like, I'm still probably voting for Bernie and all this stuff, but like.
Well, she still has the third.
I know, but you would
be. Delegates. There was. Right? Like,
I hate to stretch this out more. Part of me always thought like, oh, I hope it's like Bernie versus someone who's really easy.
Yeah.
like I was scared if it's Bernie versus Warren,
sure,
because I like them both. And that's like, oh no, what am I going to choose? But now, because of the final answer of the night, the final question, I kind of want it to be between two people that no matter which one gets picked, it'll be good, because otherwise it feels like they're going to really screw over
Seem like
Bernie.
That. Doesn't
if it's close.
Yeah.
But yeah,
if it's
so
not close, I wonder if they will.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
But my point just being, I would have hoped to see a bump from her after this debate for her.
Yeah.
I don't know that we will, maybe. I hope that this is just Warren's sector. I hope that people keep it in mind as they're voting in other primaries as well, or for all of them, you know.
Yeah.
Keep this performance in mind and don't forget about it as new results come in.
I do too.
I just wish it was like three people on stage.
Yeah. We're slowly
Bernie, Warren,
culling the field.
And Bloomberg.
That'd be fun.
So bad at it. It's so funny how bad he is.
They'd be co-presidents.
Co-presidents.
Yeah.
I mean, that's something that I think I would love if whoever became the president did over their term is abolish presidents. And like, there should be not co-presidents, but like a group of people.
Some sort of committee.
That was our debate episode. We were going to talk about other things, but we didn't.
Yeah. there's so much more to say about the debate that we won't, but
we'll probably talk about it other times.
I'm sure. It was good.
And other shows. Ugh, it was good. If you didn't watch it, go back and watch it. You will like it.
Yeah. It was, man.
Yeah. The spin.
It was something.
It was really something. The spin from Bloomberg is also really something. Everything they're doing is so insidious, and I hope obvious.
It is insidious.
Like, I am really hoping that like that performance and just like some of the things they said. Like I loved everything Elizabeth Warren said about him was just like dead on. I loved that moment when they were talking about Bloomberg being a millionaire and like I made all my billions of dollars, and Bernie's like, actually I think your workers made a lot of money too, and he did that little smirk of his. Bloomberg did, but everyone cheers. Like that's a moment. It's all really good.
A lot of smirks from Bloomberg.
Yeah, I'm glad people got to see those things said about him.
I hope it counteracts the 99.9% ad buys.
Oh my God.
In all of those states.
High hopes for
it? I have high hopes. We love you very much, though.
We do love you very much.
Love
Wait,
you.
Dave, plugs.
Oh yeah, Dave, plug. Plug.
Real quick, check out Patreon, patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. We have exclusive podcasts on there like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman, Fox Mulder is a Maniac. It's a network that I do with Tom Ryman. Check it out. You know what it is.
Do it.
Movie on Twitter.com.
That's right.
Thank you.
All right. Now we love you very much.
We do.
Love you.
Love you.